off the scale fast.
Hi everyone, it's July, it's cold and miserable outside, but inside here at RSN's Melbourne studios, it's warming right up. Jack's back and so too are the Tigers. Scott's winning pretty much everything and punching on when he's not on top of the podium. Together they are balls and bumpers. This is episode 3. I'm Tim Hodges. He's 2018 Supercars champion and current series leader. And this morning, heartbroken Kiwi Scott McLaughlin. Hello, welcome.
G'day, Hodgie, how are we?
And he is back after 3 months out, triple Coleman medalist, Tiger Premiership hero and vice-captain of the club, Jack Riewoldt.
Hey, Tim.
Well, where do we start? Jack, you
played yesterday. Yeah, we're not sponsored by KO, for starters.
The most recent information.
Not sponsored by KO.
Scotty, you're a New Zealander. You sat up very late in the wee hours of this morning and you watched your team lose. Well, not they didn't even lose, but they didn't win the World Cup.
Yeah.
How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I'm gutted, but I'm also sad I missed the good part. I fell asleep with about 10 overs to go. It was heating up, absolutely. It was a good part of the match for us. But, yeah, it was obviously waking up to the news and seeing what happened. What an amazing game. Massive fight back from New Zealand because it wasn't the best score. That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It's a disgrace, isn't it? Let's just...
Yeah.
It is a disgrace that the results ended like this.
That's like a time-certain finish in a Supercar race.
Well, that might rear its head later on in the podcast here, but it is. It's a time-certain finish.
It's like the NBA Game 7. Yeah. Someone tweeted this. I should reference who they were. NBA Game 7, you go into overtime and only one overtime, and then they count back. Whoever scored the most 3 points
100%.
Wins.
That's what I put a note down for that.
That is nonsensical and would never happen. And here we've got the biggest game of cricket.
Yeah.
Of this four-year period.
An unreal game.
And it decides the winner. And New Zealand loses, and they didn't actually lose the game.
No. We didn't win the game, but we didn't lose it either, which is like, it's so weird. I think England as well would have loved a bit of a fight again. Like, maybe just go again, another super
just
over.
Again.
Like, well, what's wrong with it? There's lights at Lords. Like, there's... It's frustrating, to say the least, because I think, you know, the sport... It's not even a traditional part of the game either. Like, it's something that you could just easily just add another super over in, you know?
It's crazy, the sport. And then a tie break in a fifth set of a Grand Slam final at Wimbledon this morning just makes no sense either. They should be still playing Djokovic and Federer to decide that title.
Mm. Well, at least there's some thought put into that. Like, that was the Isner and Nicholas Mahou match, like, or what was it, 8 years ago, where it went for 11 hours and 5 minutes.
But how good was that?
That's a battle. I suppose it's war of attrition, but there's some thought put into that. The fours, for mine, it's they've caught up in the T20 hype. It's a ridiculous way where they've thought, it'll never get to that. So let's just say most fours win.
Whoa.
New Zealand lost 8 wickets and England lost all 10. So are they valuing boundaries over wickets?
Yeah.
Why can't we have another over? They showed during the tournament, which was a fantastic tournament, and 50-50 cricket, one day cricket, was really sort of falling off the mat, really. And
that was fun.
This
was
World
fun
Cup has sort of, for mine, really ignited it again. But
it was too late. I just hated the time.
We can't change that, mate.
No.
Unfortunately, but
for me,
why couldn't we come back tomorrow? They did it in the rain affected semi final where New Zealand
like that,
beat India.
AFL Grand Final rule: if it's a draw at the end of regular time, come back and have a replay.
Have a go at it again. So
no, you would like it because Collingwood won the next week, didn't they?
Well, that's true. They did.
Yeah.
In 2010, yes.
Nah, mate.
No, it's a joke.
It should be extra time. It should be literally like NBA OT1, OT2, OT3, whatever, till whenever to get the score. It has, like, it's just,
and all the little subplots in the final result. I mean, Trent Bolt catching the ball and being able to parry it to, I'm not sure who the fielder was close by.
So he just didn't know where he was, did he?
No, he just didn't know where he was. But that's what pressure does to players. And I mean, there's no bigger pressure in cricket than a cricket World Cup. And trot on the rope in the six.
But poor Trent Bolt though, like he had a stormer like tournament. Like, he was swinging that ball. It was unreal. And then he's just obviously had the last over. What did he get? Smashed off, like, 16 runs or something like that. Then dropped the catch or, you know, the catch didn't happen on the boundary there. It's like, yeah, I felt bad for him, especially.
I have a feeling this will haunt New Zealanders and those Kiwi players, and it's a country that's been through a fair bit of late, hasn't it, Scott? So it's been huge for the country.
Yeah, but we haven't. I'm as a Kiwi, I'm proud. I think, you know, the way they fought back, like I said, it wasn't an amazing batting. We got caught out a few times. It was very slow with the runs and stuff. But I think they fought back really well, I think. And also looking at Kane, official friend of the podcast.
Yep, we'd like to just throw that in there. We have got some official friends of the podcast, and Kane is the official friend of the podcast, yep. Our first one. So
absolutely. So that's awesome. Why we call him by his first name.
Yep.
Not Mr. Williamson, nothing like that. Not Captain, it's Kane. And the way he was acting after what was probably the hardest point of his career, it's like, you know, he was smiling. I think he was just a great leader and someone that, you know, in the thick and thin, you know, I think for New Zealand, a fantastic.
A good reflection on New Zealand. Yeah. Like I sort of look at New Zealand as a country, and I think it's a bit similar to Tasmania. They're sort of always can be a little bit hard done, looked as a little brother. But the way that the New Zealand players acted post the result, it could have been filthy. And I'd hate to think what David Warner would have been like in that situation, but you're right. Kane Williamson, he epitomises what it is to be a leader. He digs deep when the side need him. He made crucial runs in that semi-final where they needed those runs after losing early wickets. And then to act the way he did post what is one of the most farcical things to happen in sport, in cricket, let alone sport. But he shows that he's a true leader.
I felt like for the first time in a long time, the whole of Australia was sort of behind New Zealand for once in our lives. You know, no
it's
one
only
won.
Because we didn't want England to win.
Rock in a hard place.
That's very cool. And so
I like the fact that Jack somehow made it about himself.
Does that. We're not the Tasmanians are always going to make
so
it.
So the
work.
Poms won the cricket.
No, they cheated.
But how good was
they cheated? Ben Stokes hit the ball
Djokovic
for four.
Won the tennis.
How good was knocking out Kohli though in the semi-final? Let's just go back to that. That was cool. His face is so good. Just like, see you, mate. Get out of here. Like,
Ben
get out
Stokes
of here. Go sing your commercial. Whatever you did in India.
Does Ben Stokes get knighted? There's a question for you.
He probably does.
Really?
They probably all do.
Didn't he just get done for punching out someone?
Yeah, he did. Still doing 125 hours of community service. Yeah.
Oh, so he's still got stuff.
And he could be knighted.
Oh, he'll probably meet the Queen.
Can you believe in one day in England they would schedule and be crazy stupid enough to schedule the Wimbledon men's final, the World Cup cricket final, where England were the favourites going in well in advance. They knew that there was probably a fair chance they would make it. And the British Grand Prix, which was a cracker, mind you. Scotty, did you sit up and watch that?
Yeah.
And nobody is talking about it at all.
No. And, you know, they had a sellout crowd at Silverstone. You know, signed another 4 years and 351,000, I think, they had on the weekend. So, unreal for the scheduling. It was bloody hard on the old right wrist going up and down on the channels. But
it's a big incident at Silverstone as well. I would love to have Dave here to get his opinion on the Verstappen Vettel and who was at fault there, because it was pretty similar to what happened up in Townsville.
Does
I would
that
have thought.
Lead us to the catch up?
No, not yet. I think we still got a little bit more to do it. But
he's just winding everyone up. But
I'm playing the role of Caruso in this podcast. Lewis, I'm loading the bullets.
Lewis just got absolutely kissed though by the racing gods. Like that safety car, Jack would have known. He follows it very closely, but it happened at literally the perfect time. He pulled in.
He was the only one that got in, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, no, a couple
others
got
in. A lot before anyone
Vettel
else.
Got in as well, but I think with Hamilton, Bottas had already pitted. It was probably the right strategy. He was screwed. If a yellow came out, it was perfect, and it did. You know, and then Bottas was screwed and he was stuck on the wrong tyre. So, yeah, sometimes it just works out for you, and certainly worked out for Lewis.
I've got a question then. Why aren't we seeing as many safety cars in supercars then? This has been, like, from what I've seen this year, I reckon it's down on previous years.
I think, I don't know. I think the cars now are built unbelievably well by a lot of teams. Things don't drop off them. Things don't break down. The incidents are few and far between as well. But I think you add a little bit of water, you just got to look on the weekend. Sunday's race was nuts. So, for us to have a 200K race at a street circuit the day before, and I think we didn't even have a safety car, or maybe had one. It's unbelievable.
No gap down the inside for David Reynolds when he got down to turn two, and he interlocked wheels with Scott McLaughlin, broke the steering on car number 9, and it flattened the right rear tyre on McLaughlin's car. You can see the rim protruding there. Both of them had to come back into the pit lane.
Townsville Sunday, the most recent race of the supercar season. You head to Queensland Raceway this weekend, but let's focus in on Townsville. Turn one of lap one. You were starting from the front row. You made a brilliant start, and then David Reynolds made decent contact with you. It took you pretty much effectively both out of the race by the end of turn one.
Disregard team orders here, mate. Fire from the hip.
Yeah,
has been plenty said.
We've said plenty from both sides. Dave's obviously said plenty, probably enough for both of us. But at the end of the day,
what about Tarn? She said a bit too.
Nah, we don't have to worry about that. But the thing is, I believe I went down to the turn one. I was overly cautious. I probably was. A bit of water. I was worried about the wet lines and all that sort of stuff. So backed off a little bit. Dave probably saw an opportunity. I'm always going to think I'm in the right. He's always going to think he's in the right. I believe he made a gap. He didn't actually go for one. And it, shows when he's hit my rear wheel there. It's basically hit my rear wheel. He hasn't gone up beside me or anything like that. It's basically wheel-to-wheel contact with my rear wheel. So he says I moved. I don't believe I moved. If anything, it was a millimetre. If anything, which sometimes you do when you do brake pretty hard, things move around, especially in those conditions. I'm not really stressed. I think, rivalries are good for the sport. I think, like I said, we're always going to say different things. The fans are always going to think differently. This has been a massive talking subject for a lot of people. And I just want to get on with it. At the end of the day, it really, for me, I'm still in the championship. That's what I'm worried about. And, Davey's probably hurt himself more than it's hurt me.
If there is another incident, this could blow up, couldn't it? It could get to astronomical proportions.
I don't think there'll be another. But I don't.
You can't rule out there not being another incident.
No, there probably will.
Clearly
at
the moment, there's bad blood between. Yeah. Now, Dave's a very sort of cool, relaxed character, and I think at the moment he's portraying a character that is sort of brushing it off, saying, "Oh, I'm friends with everyone." But he's deep down, he's filthy at the moment. If there is another incident, this could get really ugly.
I don't know. I'm of the point where it's Dave says all that, he wants to be friends with everyone, all that sort of stuff. But he's competitive. We're all competitive. We all want to beat each other, and in this sport, you're going to get to a point where you don't like someone. Like, you can't like everyone. That's just BS. So I think it's a rivalry. It's a good rivalry. Certainly looking forward to the rest of the year.
Can I ask, were you too cautious heading to turn one?
I think I was, but I think I was in some ways just driving to the conditions. I think if you look in front of me, Waters misses the corner by two or three car lengths. Dave broke deeper than both of us. So who knows? Maybe Waters needs to buy me a slab because he might have T-boned him and I might have kept going. Who knows? That's racing. We make split-second decisions. But I think I was driving to the conditions and probably in my position in the championship, I didn't need to risk anything. And Dave obviously thought he could make an opportunity there, which he probably could have done somewhere else. He had a pretty quick car, but he ruined it himself.
If you were in Dave's position, switch the roles, what would you have done?
If Dave's position in the championship and he's got to get points on me and my team and whatever, absolutely you'd have a go. But I think the way you'd go about, whether you'd have a go there, whether you'd wait, it's hard to say. We're all making the decisions at that time. And like I said, I don't disregard hard racing. I think that's awesome. Him having a go and, me and him banging doors, I don't mind it. Like, I like racing hard. You just got to look at me and Shane the last few years. We race hard and fair, and that's how it is. But, I think I just thought at the time, that point, we hadn't driven on that track in 11 years. There hadn't been rain, so no one knew what to expect going to turn one, slicks in the rain. I felt I was driving to the conditions, but Dave thought he could make something up.
How important is it to pass someone on the first lap? So, obviously everyone starts as... That's the time when everyone is as close as they possibly can be. Is there a real importance, and do you think that he thought that he had to take his opportunity there, clearly because this year the Penske cars have been superior to everyone?
Yeah.
Did he think that was his one chance to get in front of you, and you reckon that's why he went maybe that little bit too far to try and get past you, because he's worried about the fact that at the moment you guys are just driving off on everyone?
Well, I... Yeah, but I was behind Cam. Yeah. So there was still a car in front of me, whatever. But yeah, I think absolutely Dave and the team want to get in front of us. We'll get, even if it's me or someone else, it could be completely different. I think we're racers. We go for the move when we think it's right. Like I said, you make split-second decisions. And I just believe that decision of his was wrong. And he thinks it's right. He thinks I was wrong. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, it's hard to go into the mind of Dave and go, all right, that's what he was thinking or what he wanted to do, like, because we're all different and what I would have done.
Is there now bad blood between yourself and Dave? And in particular, I mean, you're back on track at the end of this week. What happens if you do find yourselves Saturday, Sunday rubbing doors?
Oh, no, I don't think
it leads to something.
No, it's not going
to
be like...
Do you need to try and distance yourself? I mean, as I said, you are nearly 300 points in front in this championship.
I'm not really. I'm at the end of the day, I'm going to be racing Dave for the rest of the year. Like, he's fast. He's always going to be up the front. And same with us. We're going to be there or thereabouts. So, like, it absolutely hasn't made us closer by any means. But it's certainly a rivalry that I think supercars are relishing on. And you know, it's not going to affect me going for a move on him or racing him side by side, because I think it will just be the same. But it's just, you know, it's probably a bit different off track.
So will you talk to each other, be cordial with each other? Or is, is it now strained?
Well, it's... You know, I don't really talk to many people. I sort of stick to myself anyway. So I Dave, you know, we're going to have to do some media stuff together. Obviously, they're going to be loving this. So we're going to be seeing each other all the time. So I'm not going to be that stupid. But I think, you know, it certainly won't be going down the pub and having a beer, that's for sure.
Well, last one. I feel like we've nearly done the hard questions here, Tim. But last one before we do move on to some more catch-up.
I think he's got a sweat going as well, which is
good as gold. I'm actually good as gold.
How do you feel the community of supercars, and it is a very tight-knit community, have felt about this? Now, there's obviously the media side where they're just going to be egging it on.
Yeah, they love it. They try to make something out of nothing.
From an other driver point of view, and some of them are involved in the media and have a voice, Do you feel like they've sided with you, or do you feel like they've sided with Dave, or are they siding against you at the moment because you are dominating this year, and it nearly is Scott McLaughlin versus the rest of the field?
I think from a media fan point, I think absolutely it's sort of where Wincup in that regard, when he was dominating a lot, like whenever he had a problem, they would jump on it and fans would love it and whatever. I think it's certainly, I've seen people's put up, you know, geez, it made a good race, rah, rah, rah. But that's good confidence for me. It means that we're doing a good job and whatever. But I think I've always stood by the fact that if we didn't have booing, like if I don't have people hating on me or booing me or whatever, and vice versa for Dave, then our sport would suck. We've got to have Holden fans not liking me, Ford fans not liking Dave, and being on one side of the fence, because it creates discussions. And I think it's been an unreal bit of media for the sport.
It's that whole heroes and villains, which you and I both love NASCAR, and they basically market their entire sport on the heroes are here, and the villains are here, and come and cheer.
Well, Kyle Busch,
whoever you want.
Kyle Busch loves being the villain, doesn't he? Yeah. But I think...
And he makes tens of millions of dollars by playing that role.
And I remember Lounsey saying something that Brock told him when he went from Holden to Ford. He's like, oh, I think he said something like, oh, Brocky, I'm probably going to lose a lot of fans, rah, rah, rah. But then Brocky was like, no, you're not. You're just going to you're going to lose 50% of your fans, which is whatever, and then you're just going to gain another 50% back when you go to Ford. So it's, look, you're always going to have that split situation, but, I'm not too stressed about all that.
I think you might have been, the post-race antics might have been you just showing DJR that you can make it with the big boys over in NASCAR. Storm down, storm another driver's garage.
Do a bit of this, bit of that.
There you go.
No, it was just like figuring, like, well, I just want to know, like, what happened. Like, to be honest, I just felt the hit in the rear. So that's how it is. But
I think we've grilled him enough here, Tim.
Yeah, no, but it's all right.
Were you prepared for pushing and shoving?
No. Honestly, I went down there and then I got yelled at left, right and centre by the whole garage pretty much. So I just walked off. They told me to go look at the footage. I did. I come back with the footage, and then it was just like, you know, we sort of was, I might as well bang my head against the wall. So it's, you know, we'll just move on. I'm passionate. I want to go well. I want to do the job for my team. And I'm not just going to sit there and say that was, oh, no, that's all good. We got hit. We were stuffed our whole race, whatever.
I love it.
Were you shocked at some of the yelling that was coming back from you, not from the particular driver you went to talk to?
I went down there to talk to Dave, and that's all I'm going to say.
Jack, your team has rocketed up to fifth on the ladder.
Correct, Tim.
The odds have been slashed for the premiership on the back of you returning yesterday.
All on the back of me returning yesterday.
No, seriously, after 3 months out, how did it feel to be back out there?
I felt amazing.
Did you get the first goal? I didn't see.
No, I didn't. No, my teammates didn't pass it to me.
Scotty, did you see? The finger was straight.
I saw it. It was on Herald Sun and all the bullshit. Tim,
I did it for a little bit, and then it's been a while, so I thought, I've got 3 months to catch up on here, so I kept on going right around.
So is that a trademark thing you do?
Yeah.
Like, I know you do it a lot, but is it just a thing you do?
I don't know. It's just a natural reaction.
Who are you
pointing
to?
I've got absolutely no idea.
You're
the Richmond faithful.
Yeah, Poppy.
Poppy came along yesterday.
He pinched it off
time.
Jonathan Brown.
I did. Yeah, I did pinch it off Jonathan Brown. But
Hang on. Sorry. Interesting stat I found on the weekend. This is something probably for you. Jack on the weekend took more marks than Mason Cox took in the entire time Jack was out for his injury. Very interesting.
Really?
Yeah, that's actually a legit fact.
That might be. I think you might have a little bit of a grudge against Mason, but that's okay.
No.
I just love being back out there.
I thought
there.
That would have got a bit more feedback.
Yeah, we didn't get any bites from Tim, who was. What was you? What were you feeling?
Hang on, it's on you first. With six games left.
Spotlight's on
with
me.
With 6 games left, where do you have the Tigers place? You're outside that
fifth
top
at the
four.
Moment.
No, I know. Yep. Yes, I know. But your last 6 games are all at the MCG.
Yep.
You've got a great run towards September.
Great run.
If you can put yourself in the right position, I mean, what is this team capable of achieving?
Oh, well, we're capable of anything, really. We've got a really good squad together. We're starting to obviously get some guys back. There's maybe one or two more pieces of the puzzle that we would probably say at the start of the season would be those pieces that are possibly chances to come back. But for us, we play West Coast. We play Brisbane, we play Collingwood over the back end of the season. So we play sides that are around the mark that we need to beat them to finish high in the finals and finish in the finals. So, I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to prepare ourselves for hopefully what is a tilted September again.
I love where you're at. And then you spoke last time we spoke about Alex Rance and the club having to have adult conversations. Do you think you'll get to a point where you go, well, we can actually win it this year, so it's time to flick the switch and play him? Do you think that's where those adult conversations will go?
I think that will have a major bearing on what those decisions are to be made going forward. Now, there's so many things that have to be taken into account. There's obviously Alex's health, which is priority number one, and his longevity for the club. Because you look at him and you go, oh, he's nearly 30 years old. So, let's just take the risk. But he's such a phenomenal athlete that, like, he's going to play well beyond 30 years of age. He's going to be playing till hopefully he's sort of 34, 35. So we've still got another 4 or 5 seasons of Alex Rance. We don't want to ruin that by a hasty decision to go, you're in. And there's also credibility.
But what if it is the difference between a second premiership for your group or not?
Well, that the things that you have to weigh up.
Look at Stephen Cornelia on that.
Yeah, like Stephen Cornelia is a great example of a guy that, and I'm not saying anything with the way that the Giants ruled him to be fit because he felt good, and Leon Cameron's come out and said structurally he was fine. He may have just been unlucky, but ACL injury, which Rancey has sustained, is a substantial injury, and there is an element of risk when you come back earlier than the, I suppose, prescribed 12 months, and it has been done. Tyson Goldsack did it last year and nearly played in a premiership, but there's reputations as well. There's me as a player and possibly Dimmer as a coach going, look, we'd love to get him back, but we have to look at the bigger picture. As I said, Alex's health is priority number one. That comes over winning a premiership or thinking that Alex has to come in for us to win the premiership, because at the moment our defence are playing phenomenal. We're led by Dylan Grimes and Dave Ashbury and Nick Loston down there. They're playing some great football, and Rancey's had an amazing impact with them off the field as well. So it's looming though, Tim. It's certainly looming as a really tough conversation.
I reckon they're like this whole team is a dark horse for sure. And I think Collingwood and all that are still very good, but for them to get their injuries back, Jack's coming back. Hopefully Ramsey comes back as well. Apart from the Doggies, I think they're actually a big dark horse.
Well, the Doggies are going all right as well at the moment.
I know.
How many teams do you have in that elite bracket that can be premiers this year? I mean, obviously the Cats are two games clear on top.
Mm-hmm. Who's your last four?
The Magpies, the Eagles, yourselves. GWS, are you shaky on now that if Canelio is out for the rest of the year, which even if it isn't an ACL,
he is out for the rest of the year, they said.
No, yeah.
And then would you be bold enough to say Brisbane Lions can win it all?
Oh, I think Brisbane can win it for sure. They're playing a fantastic brand of footy.
They played well.
They look as connected as a team as anyone at the moment. I've got no doubt that Brisbane on their day can beat anyone. But I suppose... I think Chris Scott said this, is at the moment there's a bit of a any given Sunday reality to AFL football that is, if you are off 5%, you can be beaten. I mean, Carlton go up to Sydney at what would be described as an absolute fortress, the SCG, for the Sydney Swans and beat them. Port Adelaide win the showdown by 80 odd points last week and then get rolled on the weekend at home by Brisbane. So we know that we've got to perform well over the back end of the season to get us into finals. Our percentage is a little bit down on where we'd like to see it, but that's due to the fact that we don't just think, oh, we're going to lose this game. Let's say percentage. We always try and win. So we're excited. It's going to set up for a fantastic finish to the season.
It's been a long time since you've had a decent injury, I guess. So when you got back, were you rusted, like with the game plans and stuff? Did you understand it? Like, I know you've done it for a long time, but like just with the new people up front and all that sort of stuff, just trying to figure out what you're doing?
I think game plan wise, I'm pretty sound with that sort of stuff. I've got a fair bit of say on what goes on with the forwards. The big one for
you're the top dog, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, sweet.
The big one for the big one for me is developing a relationship with Lynchy.
Yeah.
He's been playing fantastic this year off what is a very little preseason. And funnily enough, there was a lot of question marks about Lynchy going into the season with his knee, and he's played the most minutes for the team. So he's been a phenomenal player for us this year. But for us going forward, we need to develop that relationship. And the first two games, Collingwood and Carlton, we didn't have that. In the Melbourne game, when I hurt my knee, it felt like we started developing. Yesterday, I reckon we took a really big step forward, and the fact that there wasn't many contests where we would fly against each other or we would run into each other. And
couple.
Yeah.
Definitely saw a couple.
There was a couple, and there's always going to be that
trying to
eyes on the ball sort of thing. But
eyes on the ball, rotations.
I feel like we've started developing, hopefully, what is a pretty successful duo.
And it's 11 nights away, Scott. The grudge match when Mason feasts on the Tigers once more.
Well, let's
round 19,
if he gets
night.
Picked, but yeah, anyway.
What about your Bulldogs?
We're good,
how
aren't
passionate
we?
You are.
Oh, very happy.
How good was Josh Dunkley yesterday?
Oh, unreal, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, you know what he did before he went to the Bulldogs?
What?
Played a year in the VFL at the Richmond Football Club. We taught him everything he knows. And your leading goal kicker at the moment, where's he from? Sam Lloyd, Richmond Football Club.
Basically, he's a good pickup.
Basically, you guys have picked up, you've picked up players from Richmond, and you've copied us.
Sammy works
from nowhere. Three on the trot.
Yeah,
you're now a game out of the eight.
I know.
Are you starting to believe that with the run home, a kind one, you can actually make September?
Well, you're always, but like Jack said, footy's a weird game at the moment, especially. But I think, for sure, as a fan, I'm positive. I was, still nervous on the weekend against Melbourne, and I still don't think, they're probably the crash up, but they're getting better, obviously. But I'm a happy doggy supporter at the moment, especially with the run home.
You're a believer.
Yeah, but then we've got a couple of toughies right at the end too, so that could throw us around as well.
Since last we spoke, you've signed a new DJR Team Penske deal to stay in the supercars for 2020. It was reported in one newspaper that you were shelving your American dream, but I don't believe that's the truth. But what does this mean for America and anything else for 2021?
Oh, it, doesn't change anything. It's more clarity in just regards to my deal, because it was coming up anyway, and just signing on. So we got something formal. For me as a driver, it doesn't change. My quote's still the same. I'm just driving here as fast and as good as I can, and what will be, you know. And you know, I'm just happy that it's locked away. I don't have to worry about anything for a bit, contracts wise, and yeah. But honestly, nothing really has changed. I don't think we even changed the contract at all.
I've got a hard question. Dave Reynolds said you moved a foot to possibly half a meter. If he was a real estate agent, would you buy land off him?
A foot to half a meter.
That's what he said. Dave Reynolds said you moved a foot to half a meter. If he was a real estate agent, would you buy land off him?
Oh, not off that estimation.
All right, there you go.
Nah.
That's all I wanted.
I'd be a bit worried about my square meter.
What about you, Tim? No,
you wouldn't. No, neither would I.
Well, that's... Jeez, that just come from nowhere, didn't it? Like, what was that?
That was more like 20-cent ones.
He'd written it down to ask about David Reynolds and forgot to, so I thought, I'm going to put it in at some point.
Jack, I've got a question for you, yep. And probably Fire Timmy, away. Being a Collingwood supporter. Dane Swan, one, have you parted with him? And two, is he as loose on the field, like when you were against him, as off it? Like, is he the guy? Would you be scared of him?
Well, I doubt that Tim's ever party with Dane Swan. I haven't either. I haven't either.
What's a drive-by? Why?
Well, you're usually in bed.
You surely would have heard some stories from Dusty, though.
Well, I know that him and Dustin are very good friends. He's a pretty loose unit.
Like,
very funny character, though. Very funny character. Unit. I know he started the GoFundMe page after Israel Folau yeah. tried to get $3 million when he wanted to cover his costs for his trip to Vegas, but... I think...
Where did he go with that? You know,
I don't know. I think it might have been a bit of a parody sort of thing. But I think he's probably looser off the field than he was on the field. But he was a fantastic player, Hodgie. Very, very loved by the Collingwood faithful down there. Would you say he's your favourite player, Tim?
Yeah, not my favourite, but superstar and would run...
There's a clip.
Run
all yeah. Who is your favourite?
Well, growing up, Peter
Craig
Dacos.
Craig
Cully. Peter Dacos
Bucks.
Was always
you love Bucks,
one.
Don't
and
you?
Then Nathan Buckley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Bucks retired, my love for Collingwood just sort of dropped off for a year or two, and then we won the premiership, so it came back.
What about when Bucks said that he wasn't going to renew his contract with AFL 360? How did you feel that day?
No, we got on great, and he gets on great with Jared.
Except,
just didn't
and who
get on
did?
Well with
who doesn't?
With who? Robbo, right?
They don't get on at all well, so that's why he ended it, and it was probably better for
you would have been flat at Robbo. All right, whose go is it?
I just wanted to ask you to find upstanding citizens of the Australian sporting landscape. When you look at guys like Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios and their behaviour on court and off court, what do you make of them? And you've both had dealings with Emma Murray. Like, could Emma Murray, the mindfulness coach, deal with two of these knuckleheads? Or are they just
you don't
beyond
reckon?
Help?
Nah, I thought. Do you reckon they're beyond help?
Well, I think Tomic is a peanut.
I wouldn't even go that far.
He's a Wally. He's a Wally.
Yeah.
Kyrgios is smart enough. Tomic just doesn't get it. Kyrgios is smart enough, but at the moment he's just choosing the path of, and he's openly admitted that he's pretty lazy. He's just choosing that path at the moment. He's got all the talent in the world, but frustration. You just want to grab Kyrgios and shake him because he has the charisma to be possibly one of the most lovable Australian sporting athletes, but then he just does little things that just people just turn on him. Mm. They just turn on him. And
well, it's not the little things. It's the little things are the good bits.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
big things, which are all the bad bits.
Do you think he could change his, like, what he's looked at? You know, the way
I think the only thing that can change him is age, is getting down the track.
Can he change his persona in the public, though? Or is it too far?
Australians love a winner.
Mm.
Yeah. If he won the Australian Open, I reckon there'd be a few people that would jump on the bandwagon that would have sworn off him.
I've got another drama, though.
He will never make it through 2 weeks of tennis, I reckon. He's just not fit enough to
But why is Channel 7, Channel 7 then putting his game over Ash Barty, which is on basically centre court, I think, at the time? Well, who makes those calls? You're on TV.
I think that's just a blue from the production team.
Do you think that Barty would have rated as highly as, say, Kyrgios.
Yep, and you have to give the respect to the number one player, yep. And the fact that the number one player is an Australian, I think they probably just made the wrong call. There was such a backlash, and on social media now you can see it immediately.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
They saw it, I couldn't believe it.
And then they swapped it.
Yeah, that's a massive clanger because, I mean, there is at the moment a huge groundswell of support for Ashleigh Barty, not only because she's playing great tennis and representing the country, but her...
she's a great person.
She is a fantastic person and has a really great story behind her as well. And yeah, it was a bit disrespectful, I reckon, from Channel 7. Do you reckon, Tim, if they had their time over again, they would have made a different decision?
I sort of just said that, didn't I?
But no, but isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah.
But isn't it as simple as just going, nah, swap? Like, you could do it literally an hour before the game?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yep. Well, and they did change that.
Like, during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. But, like, still, it's the start. Like, why couldn't you just do it an hour before the game? Bang. Get it done. But I know it's probably a lot harder than that, and commercials and all that sort of stuff. Did you guys just stay on TV, Jack? Did you enjoy hosting AFL 360? It was their worst rated show of the year, but
was it?
Well, that's according to a lot of sources I have.
Name them. Tom Brown.
John Ralph. Julian Disturb.
Well, John Ralph. First, all right, if we're going to have friends of the podcast, Kane Williamson, we only call him Kane by his first name. He is a first friend of the podcast and forever an enemy of the podcast, John Ralph. All right, and
so
we'll
he's
never
like,
refer to him as John, we'll refer to him as John Ralph, all right? Enemy number one.
So he's in...
And he's a Tiger trainer.
He'd have to do something really good to be get off that list, I reckon.
Hey, can I... We were talking about Dave Reynolds and Scott and here, obviously punching on.
Yeah.
What's the best punch on that you've had in footy with a bloke that you just do not like, do not want to talk to?
Didn't answer my question.
I liked hosting. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, okay, good. Oh, all right, go on. Yeah. Like, all right, I'll just sit here in the corner, mate.
Have I had a punch on?
Just someone that you despise in footy from an opposition.
Despise. That's a pretty strong word.
Yeah, but you've been around long enough, so I'm sure there's at least 10.
At least 10. Let me think. I've had a couple of...
We need lift music.
Couple of run-ins with Scott Thompson from North
Melbourne. Oh, he looks like a flog.
There's a...
That's unbelievable!
Oh, boy!
I can tell you now,
Scotty, this is very funny. So, Jordan Lewis and I are regulars on AFL 360, and every now and again, another player will come into the show to do the segment after us. So, Tim usually gives us the heads up if another player's coming in and asks, how do you get along with this player? So Jordan had clocked Todd Goldstein from the North Melbourne Football Club maybe 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, Tim, was it?
Yeah.
And gotten a month for it, I think he did, and then sure enough...
We always ask ever since that night.
Yeah,
so.
Todd Goldstein came on the program.
Yes.
So we're sitting up in the green room. Jordan had to walk down the back stairs as Todd came up the front stairs to avoid...
Was he like just didn't want to contact? Like,
no, I just don't know whether we had the security detail to deal with what could have happened.
Goldie would have had a dip.
I reckon Geordie would have had a dip on the lip. He was pretty good on the lip, I think.
Really?
Yeah, mind you, he was the one who punched Goldie in the face, and he probably would have gone again.
Well, so, hang on, but who's, like, your, like, deal? Like who would, like, so in that situation?
Yeah, Scott Thompson. No, I get along with players off the ground.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah, Scott Thompson.
It's disappointing. Talk more about AFL 360.
What about, I saw a clip on Dimmer, and it was, like, this kid, must have been an intern, and his personal space, and he like came up with his microphone and like was just standing next to the where he's
he hates.
Yeah, like, what's his deal?
He just hates people being in his like own little confinement. He just
when he's talking or like he won't hug you.
Anything hates hugging.
Yeah, even when you won.
Yeah, hates just is well when we won he was a bit like that, but
yeah.
We've actually had to do a couple of exercises at the club about connection and becoming one as a team, which have involved really close in conversations with people, so like eye to eye, nearly nose touching conversations, or sort of embracing in hugs. No, it's not. And then and he's really struggled with that. And the players get a great amount of joy when he's put in one of those.
Is that an Emma thing? Did Emma do that?
No, someone else.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
someone else.
He did the same last Friday at the David Teague press conference, stood way too close to him. So
that's
I think it
weird.
Might be the journalist as much as the senior coach there.
Yeah, there you go. Is that enough?
Hard questions?
We're moving to top five.
Yeah, top five for Jack.
All right, time to do the top five.
Get ready for the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, well, after raging success last week, Scott, or last episode, sorry, with the top five chips, I've been given the top five episode. It's gonna stay. And I mean it's
I don't want any part of this. You're
yeah,
good
well,
at it.
It's okay, it's no
you
don't.
Just do it now.
Yep, you can take something later on. But it got me thinking that at the moment I would declare you and David Reynolds in a feud. So I've gone down that line and we're gonna relive some of the top five in Australian sporting feuds. Okay. So number five, Shane Warne and Marlon Samuels in the BBL. I've got a bit of
yeah.
Listen to this.
Come on, Marlon.
What an over from Shane Warne.
Grab some people. Grab some more people.
That is, of course, from the BBL when Marlon Samuels grabbed one of Warne's teammates whilst bowling. Now those two, that's the most infamous incident. But those two, there's no love lost, Scotty. They've had a few parting shots at each other over the years, and now with Warney being involved in the media, any chance they get to pot each other, they do.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Marlon in the media too, or is he still
Marlon? Marlon said a couple of things after winning a few tournaments and whatnot.
He threw his bat that night and everything. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
It was full on. Yeah,
spat it. He spat it. So. There you go. That's number five. Number four, we're heading to the world of AFL. Taylor Walker and Kane Corns.
Yeah. That's new too.
Well, it's Port v Adelaide.
Yeah.
And there's certainly no love lost between these two.
It wasn't even funny, mate. Let's keep rolling. I can't say it on air.
What? Oh, what you really want to say?
No, I can't stand him.
Just write it on a bit of paper for me.
Not many other people can, either.
As you can see there, the big Texan, he's not a massive fan of Kane, and I think it goes back the other way. But I think Kane's got the Tex a bit of putty in the hand at the moment. But
don't a lot of players don't really?
Well, I'm siding with Tex on this one,
100%. Righto.
Yeah, can't have him. Yeah. You can probably put me in there. Me, yeah. Taylor Walker and Kane.
Kane, just a love triangle.
Well, one in your neck of the woods, Scotty. Holden v. Ford.
Oh, yeah.
In particular.
Ambrose versus Murphy.
Murphy.
100%.
And where would you say the biggest incident happened between those two?
Bathurst.
Yeah, yeah. At the cutting?
Yeah. You know what? And I was a Murphy fan back in the day, so, yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Murphy is out of the car. Ambrose stepping from the car. Did these two tangle? And watch this. Look at these guys.
It's on.
Murphy and Ambrose, these two do not like each other, and they are going to have some serious words. Look at this. They are two heated men. They are two heated competitors.
Is this a premonition to Bathurst this year? Could we see you and Davey Reynolds at the cutting? Just, come on, give him that one and that one. Murphy, Ambrose. Reliving the heydays of just, come on, bit of NASCAR.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully I'm too far in front. I don't know.
You're a huge Murphy fan. You idolized him as a kid. Then Marcus Ambrose actually helped you get into the
Great Tasmanian
family.
Great Tasmanian, Marcus Ambrose. Could be our second friend of the program. We'll have a discussion about that.
If they had thrown a punch, who would have won? Because they were so close. If someone had thrown one, it would have been absolute game on.
Well, if you look at Ambrose's last couple of years in NASCAR, he was throwing punches left, right, and center. They were pretty strong.
So not rating Murph?
Well, I'm not saying that. No, because I'm mates with
Wet Lettuce League.
No, I don't know. I was a Murph fan
right,
that day.
That's three.
And he probably should have clocked them.
Oh,
sitting on the
one.
Fence. Yeah, all right. Yeah, no. Well, we've just relived this for this year. New South Wales versus Queensland.
Mm.
State of origin. All right. There's three certainties in life. Death, taxes, and a punch on in the first 10 minutes of State of Origin number one.
Well, New South Wales are way in front in the speed off their defensive line department. They're racing up.
Oh, there's a big punch up in centre of ground. Nate Miles with a left and a right from Gallen, and they both
both landed. They both landed flush. There was a little push and shove. And then Gallon has landed left, right on the face of Nate Miles.
Left, right, good night. And the winner, he's got a mention already in the podcast, Bernard Tomic and Leighton Hewitt. Here we go, Bernard.
Marcus Kiros, we don't want to play anymore because he's ruined the system. I mean, go away. Like, literally, if he's retired, like, why are you still in tennis, you know? No one likes him anymore. He's just doing, you know, he's doing the wrong thing. And he's playing Davis. I thought he's retired. He's playing all these matches and stuff like this. And, you know what I mean? I did a little bit of work with him a couple of years ago. And just, you know, he used to hate Tennis Australia. It's weird. And now he loves them. So, what's happened here?
Piss off, Bern. That's a top five for this week.
Nice word, Jack. That was awesome.
Is Media Watch happening, Jack?
Media Watch? No, but just John Ralph, you're on notice. We are watching you like a hawk. Enemy of the podcast, number one. Enemy number one.
He had John Ralph for Media Watch, and he's already blown it earlier in the show. So that takes us to the public hard questions, which we forgot to before. Scotty, you've got a bunch of them.
Okay, we've got one here from Matt Long, 83. What Longy. Would you be doing for a job if you weren't in your current careers?
I'd be a supercar driver. Just like punching on.
I'd be a fabricator because that's really all I can do.
Well, I actually think I would have been a carpenter. Yeah. I still am.
One here from Beck A1983. Underscores a couple in there. Apart from Fabian, if you pick any driver from the current field of supercars to join DJ, who would it be? I'd say
Dave Reynolds for mine.
Yeah, Dave Reynolds. Anton, actually. Anton Di Pasquale, I reckon.
The number one driver down at Erebus.
Yeah, yes, he's young and fast. And yeah, he's a fellow number one. Amy June, what is your go-to song before a footy match or race?
Mine is... I used to listen to Build Me Up Buttercup as I'd walk down to go and play local footy.
Jesus Christ, that's pretty bad.
I'm just
a Drake guy. I'm a big headbanging sort of bloke.
You're going to marry an American.
Right. And that's it for the questions.
Send them in, though. We want to hear some more hard questions from the fans.
I'm Ricky Bobby. And if you like hunting knives as much as I do, you got to have yourselves the Eviscerator.
So it's basically a competition.
Prune candy.
It's a competition with the sport's worst commercials. Yep. 3-2-1 votes. One vote for one Warwick Capper.
G'day, I'm Warwick Capper, and I'm famous. Famous for being an AFL legend. And a few other things. But no matter what I'm doing, I always book my hotels with quickbeds.com. They're cheap and easy, just like me.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's shit ass.
But that's two votes. This one's hard because you kind of got to watch it. It's Cooter and him and a kebab.
You hungry? Do you want something to eat? I've got something for you. Here you go. Whoa! What? You want a souvlaki? Well, you'll have to impress me, monkey.
You've got to watch this. We'll put it on our Instagram
page.
It'll
be on our Instagram.
Yeah. And then three votes, unfortunately not Jack, but it's Mark Webber. He's earning over 15 mil a year at this point in time, and he did this.
I'm a Canberra milk chitch. From the time that I was old enough, my mum would pour a great big cup. And since then I've been drinking, it keeps the mind a-thinking. Wherever I am, wherever I roam, the thing that always brings me home is the taste that I've been missing, the Canberra milk tradition. And that's why I keep coming back to proudly wear my milk moustache, because I'm a Canberra milk kid.
Maybe Kyrgios could do the Canberra Milk Kid. Oh. He's from Canberra, isn't he? That'd change his image.
But you just think of it. He's on a lot of money.
That was a shocker.
I'd love to know how much he got paid to do that. What do you reckon?
What do you reckon? 100K?
100, maybe? Yeah.
For Canberra, for milk, no.
You don't reckon? Why do you reckon he would have done it?
I think that was way early in his career when any cent...
It was like Red Bull days, man. It's like 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in a Red Bull suit that works. That's big, man. But anyway.
Shocking. No, well done. I like that.
Look at Jack's filthy. He hasn't made the top three.
Yeah. Well, I am a little bit. A lot of debate, but just needed to give a few blokes a couple of votes. Yep. Getting a bit boring. It's like Ford Mustang DJ Tim Penske on everyone. But anyway.
Now, lads.
Time for the rant.
This is Scott's turn this week.
I am really angry. Time certain finishes and the supercars.
And Wimbledon?
Yeah, well, that's and cricket. I just don't get why we can't have a stellar ending. I understand news, all that sort of stuff, but I don't know when we're going to learn. You know, we wouldn't not have extra time, NBA, like we say. I think, you know, on our race on the weekend, Townsville was one of our best races of the weekend of the year, and we had 12 laps to go, and they cut it short, and we finished behind a safety car. Such an anti-climax. So, I don't know where you guys sit on it, and spectators of the sport, but it's horrendous. And I think they purely do it because they need to get to the news, especially on free-to-air. But surely we've got different channels and stuff to do, you know, move things and all that sort of stuff.
I can see the headline now, Tim. Championship leader clips supercars. He's just gone straight to the top, hasn't he?
I'm 100% with him. It's a blight on the sport that they let a grandstand finish. Like, the finishes are what makes sport, as you saw with the cricket, with the tennis, with the Grand Prix last night.
Yep.
You want that moment, and supercars are abandoning their races when they go a minute over time.
So who's at fault then, Channel 10 or Fox Sports?
No, Fox Sports would keep it going forever, I would presume. And it's an old ruling from the days when Channel 7 had supercars, that their 6 o'clock news, they had to go to the 6 o'clock news, which football's had the same issues with. And
I've never seen a game of footy being time.
I've always thought, like,
but sometimes footy games go long if there's a concussion or a stretcher case or it's high scoring, and they have pushed over 6 o'clock. But I don't know why supercars does it. And Sean Seamer, the boss, has said earlier this season that they would try and outlaw it to make races run their duration.
Why can't we start a race earlier? Yeah, like, why can't we just start half an hour earlier,
it's,
man?
It's ridiculous. Like, and I 100% agree with
don't
you.
Don't mind it. Good it's rant. Like, good rant.
Townsville 374 kilometre, not the Townsville 400.
Exactly. You know? Hey, good luck this weekend, Queensland Raceway, for you, Scott.
Thanks, mate.
Bit of testing, is it? Or you got the testing
not,
first?
Not this weekend. Week after, but anyway. Yep. Got testing on Thursday, so that'll be good. Just see if me right rear is good and work it all out.
Yep. What a good podcast that was, eh?
And you've got Port Adelaide on Saturday, Jack?
Yep, sure have. Got Port Adelaide Saturday, and then
any danger,
the grudge match. We're playing the Pies.
And Mason Cox. Ooh,
following that
while
on a Friday
on rants,
night.
Does Carly get really angry that she had the baby and Poppy does not look one bit like her? It's just 100% like her old man.
Well, they say that the firstborns always look like their fathers so that they don't reject them. Not that I would ever reject Poppy, but... Well, I think that's the same in your case, Tim.
Awesome to see Poppy at the footy yesterday.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, and long live the podcast wars.